How to win friends and influence Democrats, Brexit begins, and correctly predicting death with computers. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace. In San Francisco, I'm Molly Wood, sitting in for Kai Rizdahl. It is Tuesday, March 28th. Thank you for joining us. President Trump and congressional Republicans are moving on from health care for the moment and pivoting to tax reform. There is some heavy lifting ahead of them. The appropriations bill they passed last year expires at the end of April. And with Republicans divided, the GOP will probably need Democrats to pass a funding package. And they are not getting along. So where might a compromise lie? Marketplace's Adam Allington reports.
If Republicans were feeling down following the defeat of the health care bill, they won't have much time to sit around feeling sorry for themselves, says Maya McGinnis of the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget.
They have to pass some kind of a continuing resolution to keep the government open for the rest of the year. They have to pass a budget for next year, and they have to lift that debt ceiling sometime early fall.
And all of that is before they can get to the fun stuff, like cutting taxes and spending big on infrastructure. Mark Harkins from Georgetown's Government Affairs Institute points out that the politics of that nut just got really hard to crack.
There are fractures inside the Republican Party that will make this difficult. And the president offering up $18 billion worth of cuts and non-defense programs are not going to make any friends with the Democrats.
While steep spending cuts may appeal to some conservative House members, they'll have a much harder sell among Senate Democrats and moderate Republicans.
They're not going to stand for some of these cuts that their own constituents don't like, but also plenty of Republican constituencies don't like them either.
Norm Ornstein is with the conservative American Enterprise Institute. He says getting eight Democratic senators to support the president's plan is just not going to happen.
So they've got a rocky road ahead, and I'm skeptical we can get through this without at least one bout of a shutdown.
Ornstein says one option might be to pass a so-called clean continuing resolution, funding the government at 2016 levels through the rest of the fiscal year, meaning another delay on Trump's promised spending cuts. I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
At the Environmental Protection Agency today, President Trump signed an executive order seeking to undo several climate-related regulations, regulations on power plants, oil and gas drilling. The order also called for more leasing of land for coal mining. It tries to clear the road for domestic energy production, and it orders a formal review of President Obama's clean power plan. For a closer look, here's Marketplace's Scott Tong from our sustainability desk in Washington. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Molly.
So help me prioritize. What are the most important pieces coming out of this from the perspective of energy companies and the climate?
Well, I'll give you one piece. By far, what's gotten the most attention is a set of rules on power plants that exist today. It's called the Clean Power Plan, which actually hasn't taken effect yet, but it would basically speed up the decline of coal-fired power plants, which is the dirtiest source of electricity, and it's reeling because coal already can't compete with natural gas. Now, the White House says it will initiate a review of the Clean Power Plan, which doesn't really sync up with the verbs this president tends to use, but it's because it takes a lot of steps. There's a lot of uncertainty. If you want to rescind or revise a regulation that's on the books, you have to go through all these steps as if you were passing a new one. You have to draft language. You have to ask the public to comment. You have to do your analysis. And then you have to gear up for a legal fight, says Ethan Shankman. I spoke to him today. He's a former career lawyer at the EPA and the Justice Department, and now he's at the firm Arnold & Porter.
Virtually anything EPA does of any significance is challenged in court, and sometimes it's challenged by industry or the regulated community. Sometimes it's challenged by environmental groups. Sometimes it's challenged by states. The one thing that we can say with certainty is there will be litigation.
And these legal machinations and uncertainty apply to a whole host of things in this executive order, Molly. So a lot of we don't know going on.
So let's say, though, that it gets through all of those legal challenges. It somehow goes through in its entirety or close to. How does that change the U.S. emissions outlook?
Well, that analysis has been done, and U.S. emissions have been falling for a number of years, mostly because of market forces, but then they would flatten out, according to a new analysis of the Trump executive order. So coal would get a little bit of a lifeline, and so our emissions would flatten and certainly fall short of the U.S. goal in the Paris Global Climate Agreement.
Well, let's talk about that coal lifeline and also how it potentially affects the rest of the energy markets.
Well, with regard to coal, I've spoken to a lot of people. I went to coal mining, the coal mining areas of Illinois recently.